Yes, I'm talking. Happy.
Yeah, Lucas is talking. It must be Tuesday. It must be 11 a.m.
Yes, exactly. Welcome, welcome, folks. How are you? You're back.
I'm back. I've still got a cold. I'm waving the flag for the rest of Barcelona. It's feeling a bit rubbish this week, but here we are, still at work.
Honestly. Championing because everything is really real at the moment. And happy New Year 2018. May it be something, a year of triumph and change for everybody, because Lord knows. Apparently, there's a stomach flu going around. There's definitely a little bug, Bicho, going around that you've been fighting
and,
as well.
And in my fair country, of course, there's the Australian flu knocking down people for six. So happy
Australian flu?
Yeah, it's a big epidemic.
Girl, you haven't been in your country soon.
It's an epidemic. Anyway, on that happy note of epidemics, I've got nothing to add apart from, yes, we're still on the radio. And as usual, we have a smorgasbord of fantastic music,
exactly.
A wonderful guest, and more news of the weird, chit and chat.
and gift of gab.
And who this morning do we have on to speak to us?
Exactly, we have Super Fucking Nat. Super Fucking Nat, and that is the name that she is going by with Afro Feminas. She's actually going to be calling us from Mallorca in the next half hour or so, and we'll be doing a lovely interview between us here and her there.
So in homage, we have got literally some of the best female artists.
Exactly.
Songs for you this morning in homage to our friends there at Afro Femininas.
Exactly. And not only that, I believe that this whole situation, we'll talk a little bit more later about the Golden Globes and Oprah's speech. I'm sure a lot of people have talked about it. It was one of the biggest hashtags or whatnot, or trenders yesterday.
Trenders.
It's one of them trenders. Y'all teach me that lingo. On the interwebs, which were created by Al Gore. Apparently. Now, also, we are going to be doing a complete Throwback Tuesday, because we're saying, oh, hail to the now with just Throwback Thursdays, and mostly doing throwbacks today, which is Tuesday. And so we'll be talking to Lady Nat in just a bit. Now, let's get started with our first throwback. This one is going back, and it was actually a single in late 1992 up to early 1993. This is a song by one of my favorite groups, and definitely I'm talking top three or five favorite groups, which is, you know, hard to say, but it is. Swing Out Sister burst into the scene with a Gangsta Lee in the mid-80s from a couple of Manchester bands, like one of them I believe was called Magazine. And they got together. She was a fashion student. He was Corinne Drury, and Andy Connell was working with Magazine and some other, you know, post-punk type thing that happens in Manchester. They did a completely different sound, which eventually was called Sophistopop. This was one of their singles from their second album, and it's called Not Gonna Change. Let's take a listen to it. Swing Out Sister. It's like 1992 up in here. Now, folks, you can always catch us too. Live music on 106.9 FM and RadioCanalBarcelona.com. Excuse me.
Yes, and so while Lucas is clearing his throat, as we all
have. Has nothing to do with the banana in my throat.
Week. It's that time again. Yes, it's 12 minutes past 11. It's Tuesday morning. That can only mean one thing. That is correct. You have joined us on the club for News of the Weird. Every week we curate the weirdest news stories from around the world for your listening pleasure. Today is no exception. I'm going to kick it off morning with a story from my own very fine country. This is a bit of a weird one.
It's not from Florida.
No, awesome. It's not from Florida, although I do have a Florida one.
yes.
Of course I do. The New York Times recently ran a story, a strange and beautiful essay about the human liver, blah, 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 blah. Everyone likes a great essay. Read it if you like, or if you don't, you can read a bit. We can read, or I will tell you now about a British liver surgeon who repeatedly burned his initials into human livers during organ transplants. Yes, it's true.
Weak.
Yes. So Dr. Simon Bramhall, who I'm sure is not a doctor anymore, has pleaded guilty to assault of two patients for branding his initials onto their organs during their surgery, and is due to be sentenced on the 12th of January.
Now, what do you think it is that drives, besides psychopathy perhaps, that drives somebody to do that?
Well, I think you've got to be a bit of a narcissist, haven't you, really? A bit of a God syndrome.
Well, I mean, and this is the same thing that's going on in many of the different factions and forms. But, well, I mean, when is the trial happening? Is it happening?
Yeah, the trial's happened. He's going to be sentenced on the 12th of January. The thing is that, of course, the prosecutor in the case has said, and quite rightly, that it's without legal precedent in criminal law. Because, I mean, where's the law? It says you must not burn your initials onto somebody's, like, internal organs during a transplant. It's sick. In one patient, basically, it's internal graffiti, if you like. It's pretty much like writing, you know, Dr. Bramhall was here on the wall, except for it's on your liver. And apparently the marks left are not thought to impair the organ's function and usually disappear by themselves. But in one patient, the Bramhall's brand didn't heal over. And another surgeon conducting a follow-up surgery discovered the letters S and B etched into the man's liver. And that's how they found out that he's also done it to a female patient as well.
How old is this guy again?
53.
He's not even that old.
So his misdeeds were uncovered in 2013.
He will be beaten severely while in jail.
Well, yeah, I mean, what a horrible story. So sorry for that one to be the first one. But
I'm
weird
going
it
to,
is.
I will. It's weird as hell, and I'm going to give you another one, but not weird. Well, kind of weird-ish, but really kind of positive. A woman who accidentally received the wrong lottery ticket from a cashier and decided to buy it anyway has just made the right move. Now, she's from New Jersey. In fact, she's from Edgewater, New Jersey. So shout out to Jersey. And she was shopping in Manhattan. Her name is Oksana Zakharov. She is in her mid-40s.
Local with a name like that then.
I think so. You already know. Up in there, yes. And hey, Edgewater. And she was shopping in Manhattan. She asked for one of the dollar scratch-offs of the New York Lottery, which, you know, everyone seems to play there. And instead, the man unwittingly handed her a $10 set for life ticket, which is one of those where they just pay you throughout your life, I suppose. Well, she decided to buy it anyway. She won $5 million distributed to her over 20 years. That will, after taxes, net her an annual sum of almost $175,000 a year for the next 20 years until she retires. She will basically be at retirement age. So she will retire with her little Social Security pension and this much money every year.
Go, Oksana.
Hell yeah.
Drinks are on you, love.
flying over now to see my sister. Okay. Have you got another?
I do.
Florida, yes.
Yes, we're in Florida story. Thank you for research number one for putting this up for me. You have got to know that all around the world right now, the weather is a little bit freaky and no exception. The sunshine state of Florida has been having incredibly cold temperatures. There's also been snow as south as Tallahassee. It's cold.
Yes.
Snowing in Florida.
Crazy.
Who'd have thought. Yeah. So, and it was 20 degrees here the other day. I mean, winter. Anyway, this story comes out of Miami Beach. Temperatures dipped below 40 degrees Fahrenheit. That's 5 degrees Celsius for anyone who speaks European. Early Thursday in the south parts of Florida, it was 5 degrees. That's pretty chilly. Yeah. And unfortunately, it's chilly enough to immobilize green iguanas who are common in Miami summers. Yes, it's been freezing the iguanas. It's no joke. This guy called Frank Serabino has actually tweeted a picture of an iguana lying belly up next to his swimming pool. The cold-blooded...
Oh, can we please throw it on English radio? That is hilarious.
Well, no, it's not really that funny.
Oh, my God. But they don't die. They go into a catatonic state.
So it's almost like cryogenically freezing the iguanas. Okay, but they're not the only reptiles to be stunned by the cold snap. Sea turtles often stiffen up when temperatures fall. Wildlife Commission biologists have been rescuing poor little sea turtles. They've been found floating listlessly on the water near the shore. But no such rescue is planned for the iguanas. And they keep falling out of trees.
Because they're not dying. I mean, some of them might die, but they don't die. They fall into a catatonic state. And then they kind of thaw out and then run around. Yeah, and they will attack too.
Don't assume they're dead. They can grow over to 5 feet long. That's 1.5 meters for those of us who speak European. the poor thing. But they also fall out of trees. So they might not be dead, but the fall might get them. It actually snowed briefly in Tallahassee for the first time in 28 years. So if you're in Florida, put your woolens on. It's a bit chilly.
I love this. One final thing, as it is still in reference to something that's dealing with the holidays, although we are now at the final vestiges have died. But one more thing. In the Turkish province of Antalya, researchers believe that they may have found the final resting place of Saint Nick.
Santa Claus.
A recent scan on the ground behind, or rather beneath, the St. Nicholas Church in this Turkish area has revealed what local officials are calling the secret tomb, or a secret tomb. They're convinced it must belong to the popular Christian saint who helped inspire the legendary Santa Claus, because this is where he's speculated to have been buried. Now, he's also said to have been born near the church's town center of Demra, previously known as Myra, and this is where some of these names have come from. Now, it is yet to be proven, but analysts are researching this and testing it at the time, and actually believe this could be the final resting place of jolly old St. Nicholas. Give me a music, please.
Well. Everyone, he wasn't wearing the outfit then, was he? That was ready to drink Coca-Cola.
No.
Okay, good. Right. As we mentioned earlier on today, we're going to be joined by a wonderful guest from Afro Feminas.
Yes, Super Funky Nat is the name she goes
so
by.
So Super Nat. Funky Nat is going to be joining us soon. And like as we said earlier on, we have got a fantastic lineup of female artists. This isn't just a female artist, this next song, but it's a great one. It's from the 1968 studio album Conscious. This is Womack and Womack. And Teardrops. 1988. Okay, we're all very confused. Let's go 1988.
I hope so.
And I absolutely assume that you will be, like, we'll be dancing around the studio to this.
God,
this is
Womack
and Womack and Teardrops.
And remember, Englishradio.org or 106.9. Radio Canal Barcelona, .com or 106.9.
Yeah.
Womack and Womack from 68 or 88, whatever you're feeling.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, but it was 88. Oh
yeah,
my
and
gosh.
Of course it was husband and wife team, the Womacks there.
Yeah, they've been playing for a hot minute too.
Yeah, Cecil and Linda Womack, they also produced that track alongside Chris Backwell.
Oh, really?
They did indeed.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't know. And you didn't know this, but we're having, like much of the rest of the world seems to be freezing their asses off, or in Australia, sweating their asses off. We're having some decent weather here. In fact, the high today should get at least up to 13, if not a little bit more, in the sun patches, and stay that way throughout the rest of the week until the weekend. However, we will be hit by some sloppy rain on Thursday and at the weekend as well.
Yeah, and on Sunday. So that means another Sunday that delightfully spent watching Netflix. I saw there was no one out in the whole of Barcelona on Sunday. Everyone just stayed indoors.
Yeah. It was an interesting day.
It was. So
we'll switch off to something else before we're being joined in just a few minutes, I'd say within the next 5 minutes or so, by the lovely super funky Nat. And that's what we're going to call her when she's calling us from Mallorca in just a few minutes. But we're going to jump into a track. Now, we played these folks. In fact, the beauty of them is that I was talking with a friend of ours, Michelle Negron, who has been here before. And she mentioned these, a friend of the show, Total, and she mentioned these guys. It's these girls are a French-Cuban duo, but they mix a whole bunch of music, including the Nigerian language of Yoruba, Spanish, French, English, because, of course, they're French-Cuban. So beautiful girls, and we played them maybe a month ago. Yeah, like right before Christmas time, perhaps. And we're going to throw in another track in here, and I think it's going to be the perfect intro to somebody who's going to be joining us in just a few minutes. This track is called No Man Is Big Enough For My Arms, and this is by Ibeyi.
No man in the world. The measure of any society is how it treats its women and girls. It's women and girls.
We create
the smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me.
No man. No man is big enough for us.
Many of these girls have faced unthinkable obstacles just to attend school. Of any society is how it treats its women and girls.
Won't stand still.
Your story is my story. Your story is my story.
Won't be shamed.
Your story is my story. Your story is my story. Story.
No man is big enough for
love. And I told them that they should disregard anyone who demeans or devalues them, and that they should make their voices heard in the world. I told them that they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. And I told them that they should disregard anyone who demeans or devalues them. They should make their voices heard in the world. The measure of any society is how it treats its women and girls.
No man in the world.
The measure of any society is how it treats its women and its girls. Great tune.
Exactly.
Important message. And one that's very poignant at the moment. I think that brings us very, very nicely on to talk about the Golden Globes and Oprah Winfrey.
Exactly. Not only did the hashtag, the Me Too movement, play a major effect in that everybody was wearing black, Not in some form, and somebody made this specifically say, this is not some form of luto, like this is a time of mourning. This is a time of awareness, and this is why people chose to wear black. And men even made it, mostly men will wear black to those types of events, and they made it, the shirt's black this time. I mean, there were people, but it's, I think everybody's galvanizing around Oprah's speech.
That's right. I think they're slightly different from the Me Too movement. I think it's called Time's Up was what they were protesting.
Hell yeah.
And the whole of Hollywood seemed to, apart from three people, I think, who didn't wear black to that awards show.
Exactly.
Everybody else was supporting that there. And Oprah made an incredible speech when she collected the Cecil...
B. DeMille Award.
Yeah, for lifetime achievement in show business. And I think she was the first black woman to accept that award.
She sure is.
Yeah.
And she actually made mention of very poignant and specific moments in black history that have defined a lot of the culture, like when Sidney Poitier won the first black Oscar for an act, male actor lead. And not only that, but also speaking of a woman who not only suffered injustice, but was never, none of the men that raped this woman were ever brought to justice. Excuse me. And on top of that, she just died 10 days ago at the age of 98. And it is time, I believe, more and more that women and more people are becoming aware, not only just to women's, with the plight of what women are going through, but also the plight of what African people are going through as well. We are going to be speaking right now, I believe. Let me put my trusty headphones on.
Excuse us while Lucas puts his cans on.
Yes. And I believe we are being joined on live on the air with Super Fucky Nat. Are you there? Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Hey, hey,
good
hey,
morning,
hey.
Nat.
This is Lucy and Lucas. How are you, madam?
I'm fine. And you guys?
We are trucking along and very happy to have you on here. Because there's a lot to talk about. We were just talking about some of the, well, parts of things, speeches that was made by Oprah the other day at the Golden Globe Awards with her speech.
Yes.
And just everything seeming to revolve, not only just, not just around, just around things in general that are hitting sociocultural elements.
Yes.
And the other day I was talking to a dear friend of ours, Anne Kat, about something that's been happening for years now. And when she sent me the link in reference to this ridiculous blackface march, this is when I jumped on the wagon and wanted to get a hold of everybody. And this is how this happened. So thank you so much. You are calling us from Mallorca. So shout out to you in Mallorca. Thank you. Now, is it freezing? Are you? Is there snow in Mallorca? Just
it's quite cold, actually.
Is
we it? Had, yeah, we did. This winter is like crazy. We had a couple of winters that it was like global warming. It was like around 22, 24. It was like crazy. And this year, it's been like fronte polar.
So you know how much?
It's like horrible, horrible. We had actually snow on the 15th and the 20th.
You had snow in Mallorca?
Yes, we
were just
course.
Talking about snow in Florida. It's weirder and weirder. No such strange news as real news.
Yeah, exactly. Well, at least my president doesn't believe in any of that stuff. Now, Jesus H. Now, madam, I want to talk about what we were just mentioning in just a minute. Where are you from originally, madam?
I'm from Paris.
From Paris. So, all right.
Born and raised, but half of the time I was raised as well in the Caribbean, in that beautiful island, French island called Martinique.
Oh, I must
how need. Beautiful.
Okay. So you have roots that go back there as well, or you just have family that go back there as well?
Well, I've got half and half. I've got family all over. Actually, we are quite mixed. We are like people from the world.
Amen.
We have people in India, Africa, the States, Polynesia, Sri Lanka, Martinique, Guadeloupe, Guyana, France, all over.
And the... Exactly, the beauty of being you and being from Paris as well. Now, what brings you, just out of curiosity, what yes. brought you to Spain?
Do we have to talk about that? Okay.
Just for 1 minute. You got 60
seconds. No, the usual stupid thing.
Love.
I came because I followed my boyfriend. It was
okay.
love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I came here for a similar reason. Of course, my relationship didn't last, but...
Same here.
Oh, no.
17 years down the line, it lasted about a year, and I'm 17 years afterwards.
Okay, I've got about half that on you, but hell yeah. Right on. Okay. Well, then, another question then.
Yes.
The idea of Afrofeminas, where does it come from? Did you help create it? When did you join? Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, I'm going to try to explain.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
First of all, my relationship with her, she's called Antoinette Torres Soler. She's from Cuba. She's the one who initiated the project 4 years ago. Okay. basically, we have similarities in our lives. You know, we both Caribbean, we both settled here for a while. We actually bumped into each other not so long ago, and I became a punctual collaborator with her, writing on that thing. So Afro Feminas, basically, it's an online magazine working towards the empowering of Afro-descended women in Spain, actually. And it was to respond to a void that we had here. Basically, there was no existing space to see ourselves, to speak, reflect, be philosophical, and talk about our condition. So basically, totally different from France and England, where you have like millions of initiatives all over the place.
Oh, New York
and
City.
Basically, yeah. We needed a place to start voicing, opinion, talk about our life, our testimony, talk about the struggle, you know, and totally naturally evolve into some kind of black feminism.
Exactly.
So that's more or less the story.
Did it surprise you? I'm curious because it surprised me because I moved here from Brooklyn. Did it surprise you when you arrived to the lack of any Afro, not just feminine, but Afro feminine culture?
Of course. I was arriving from London.
It's so a little different, imagine, isn't it, here?
Yeah,
so you,
let's
you can
keep
imagine
it real.
My shock. I didn't expect it at all.
Exactly.
At all. It was totally utter shock for me.
Have you got children by any chance?
I've got a son, yeah.
Okay. And so was he born here?
Yeah, he was born in Barcelona, actually.
So it's Catalan, too, Oscar. No.
Not really.
Okay. We be in Mallorca, No, I'm just kidding. So, all right. So how do you explain things like this to him, especially in a 2018 world where we live?
Well, he's quite small still. He's going to actually be 5 in a couple of months.
Oh, he's a cheeky nookie. Okay, gotcha.
So basically, in his head, he's French, Caribbean, Russian, because his dad is Russian. A bit of Spanish is a mix. Yeah, that's what he understands, right?
Exactly.
So basically, he's a zebra, as he said, zebra thing, human or something. That's what he said.
Hi, Kevelina. All right, so let's go back to then. So you met up with Miss Soler, with Antoinette, and things kicked off. Now, there are so many different articles, there are different events and things that you guys take advantage of as well. Are you specifically focused just on, you know, the Spanish, Catalan, Balearic Island provinces, correct?
No.
Okay.
At the beginning, it was to respond to that void. So basically, obviously, her culture is Hispanic, Cuban.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why she realized there was something missing. Nobody was talking about this type of issue because obviously we know the cosmetic side, we know the health, but nothing else was existing. So basically, when she started the page, it was to actually cover territory nationally.
Okay.
So we're talking Spain, right? And out of the blue, the thing exploded in her hand, maybe after a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And now she's topping up to 1 million viewers.
Wow.
In about a month.
Love it.
Right?
Love it,
that's
love
crazy.
It, love it.
And it's totally out of the frontier. Basically, where she has more readers is Latin America, Caribbean people, and all the Spanish speakers all over. Actually,
beautiful.
Spain is quite timid compared to it, but people are getting into it. And we had a lot of allies. We have a lot of allies as well. A lot of people that are not from the community who love what we're doing. Basically, we're getting information that we're inspiring in the academic system, where we don't actually have a position or nothing. You know, there's nobody that looks like us in the academic system here.
Exactly. And has that been a challenge or a benefit?
Well, it's still a big challenge because one of the specialties she tried to get out in the street, onto the street, leaving the net, you know, where some people call it comfort zone.
Yes.
And getting into the street, which is jungle, let's face it, and try to educate the youth and try to organize workshops and conferences and see how people would react. And it's very difficult getting into, for example, there's an example. She got in touch with a school, I think it was around the Catalonia area, to try to talk to pre-teenagers people. And basically, the people from the school didn't want to be involved at all. There was no supervising of the kids. They just left her there with the kids on their own in the library. They will not facilitate the room to do it properly. I mean, this is weird. This is what we have here. You know, it's very complicated. This is starting from zero. Yeah.
So where can people, in this year, 2018, where can people kind of come and check you out and learn a bit more about the project? Because it seems fascinating, but I mean...
Basically, the base is internet, is the page, you know, afrofeminas.com. Yep. So that's the base. Obviously, she's all over. She's exactly. In Facebook, where we have a lot, most of the reaction most of the time. Mm-hmm. That's where we generate a lot of reaction and reading. Twitter, she's on Twitter. She's all over.
She's everywhere. Yeah, I saw that earlier, too.
Yeah, she's all over.
Well, when you and Antoinette see things like these incidents, this Pinche Christmas of Alcoy, which is still... I mean,
explain that, what that is, yes, for everyone, because they might not necessarily know.
Exactly. Would you please, if you can, without vomiting in your mouth?
Normally, I'm supposed to actually read a comunicado. Can I do that?
Yes, you may.
Okay. We're going to get a bit intellectual here. Listen, it should be 2 minutes, right?
All right.
Okay. We start. I'm echoing Antoinette Torres-Soler in denouncing a disturbing prejudice we suffer every single year, at this time in Spain, a country which is home to a diverse and multicultural diaspora. What they call the traditional and cultural blackface they have been practicing for decades won't be challenged or jeopardized in any way. Not even the local law contemplates seeing a problem or taking any actions when this is condemned by public opinion and by law in the European countries like England or France. The blackface represents negative stereotypes of people of African descent, taking them back to slavery times, baffling their dignity as human, exposing their children to negative stigmas, causing harm to their self-esteem in construction. This is perpetuating discrimination century-old into a present European Union with social rights and equity. While this type of tradition are used in the media, school, street manifestation, and traditional costume, inherent parts of Spanish culture.
Insane.
The problem we face really, yearly, is incredible rise of xenophobia around the subject, with cyber harassment, threat against our security and the one of our family. At the same time as we have to suffer town hall campaigns, posters, along with newspapers, TV and social network coverage. A cultural tradition can be deeply rooted, but it is not a justification for discriminatory practices and stereotypes. Evolution of tradition have to ensure human dignity and rights for all the country inhabitants, and freedom of speech and protest in such issues should be respected. Right. This year is uncommon, as the town of Alcoy has decided to present the celebration as a possible recipient of Patrimonium of Mankind by the UNESCO, which is getting beyond unacceptable. This campaign has been orchestrated to change racist policies in a European country that is part of a bigger system called the Union, that is ruled by generic laws that are, in the case, disregarded bluntly. Yes. Understand that is about thousands of underage kids suffering bullying, being discriminated against, and not being protected by the school system or by state laws because of the color of the skin. It is about society who doesn't acknowledge its black population or address the need of well-being. Mm. This is about changing from the power above, laws and policy to force a racist society to evolve, along with mentalities too. Here in Europe, things can be taken to the Supreme Court in Brussels to overrun prejudice. Having the nerve to go as far as UNESCO to try to normalize racism as a culture or tradition is going too far, when we are in recent years finally acknowledging internationally all around the slavery has been a crime against humanity, and we are working towards commemoration and assuming the past that has been systematically hidden under the carpet for centuries. I must add, to finish, as a reference, the paragraph 2.2 and 5.3 in the Declaration of Racial Prejudice published by the UNESCO in 1978, which states in full details everything above. That's it.
Mm. When something like this still is permitted by the bloody city hall of Alcoy, what can happen in a judicial sense? Because, I mean, this is coming against our own laws. So how
basically we did a post entry like we would do any other. We didn't expect at all this level of reaction. We didn't expect to tool that level of cyber harassment, threat against our security as people, calling us at our own homes. We didn't expect at all the whole town turning against us, getting the two main political parties in this country supporting the motion for UNESCO after that as a reaction. We didn't expect the town hall of Arcole getting in touch with us, telling us after the death threat that we should actually come and see it for ourselves. We didn't expect
up to
any
a death
of it.
Threat.
So basically, we had a campaign in Change to get enough signature to actually do something. We're about to send a letter to the UNESCO in Paris.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely we have to take it on a European level. We don't have a choice because locally there's nothing that can be done. And basically all we get is hate. We can't talk. We can't have free speech here.
It's really, really antique thinking in this country. And I know that around carnival time as well, I think that most people from Northern Europe and other parts of the world who live here are quite shocked to see little kids dressed up in outfits of Chinese and all different, you know, I mean, I find that quite shocking from coming from the UK where, I mean, you wouldn't make up your white kid to look like a Chinese child, and you certainly wouldn't put black makeup on a but it happens, and it is very bizarre and out of date thinking, and thank goodness that you guys are actually taking it forward, because it needs to, someone needs to change.
How can Afro feminists and, oh my God, I put up from my head, Afro feminists, how can people get involved with that? Are there any projects or things that will be mounted here in Barcelona province, for example?
At the moment, Antoinette is writing a book.
Okay, brilliant.
To fill another
love
void.
It. Yes.
That every time she get invited to academic into academic level or department or system or whatever. So that's, for example, she was invited in December to the Teatro Español in Madrid on a conference on feminism, and she was the only racialized person present.
Yeah.
And she got attacked again. So what happened is there's two things happening at the same time. On one side, they don't want to hear us when it comes from us. But on the other side, they want to represent us when we're not there to talk about ourselves and about our own problem. The only people who actually know about what's leaving is us.
Mm-hmm.
But they're talking for us. So they want to take our space. So I think a book is necessary to actually address a lot of things here. So she's on that. What? So she stopped at the moment to do workshops and conferences, but I'm sure she's going to take that on. At the moment, the page is giving as well a big thumbs up to professionals. I'm one of them. Basically, we decided to set up some professional services. So we have psychologists, we have doctors, and I'm the style expert in the middle. I'm wrong doing what I'm doing in the middle of that with all that intellectuality around. But
I
anyway,
love it. I love
but,
it.
Basically, we're doing one-on-one, and because this type of services are quite expensive and the community who has problem as well working locally doesn't have that much money, we're trying to do affordable prices and one-to-one. So you have the secrecy and you have this thing.
That's amazing. You can check out the page Afrofeminas for all of the information about those services. Really important work that you're doing, especially in a country like this one where there seems to be very little representation for anyone who comes from a background that's not a clear-cut Spanish Catalan background. Like, I come from a city where everyone, there's been immigration for 500 years. I can't imagine.
Exactly.
But I mean, amazing that you're doing some work. We're going to just play a quick track now and we'll come back and talk to you at the end.
Okay.
It's Aretha. I mean, if we could run a bigger voice waving the flag for all things Afro and feminine, it could not be better than Aretha Franklin. This song is from 1968. This is Aretha and Chain of Fools.
Great.
Chain, chain, chain.
song. I'm added to you. Change, change, change.
Change, change, change.
Beautiful sound of Aretha Franklin never gets old, does it? Never gets old.
And I mean, Chain of Fools, especially Super Funky Nat. You still with us, love?
Of course.
Damn. I mean, that couldn't be more appropriate from what we were just talking about with these fools up in here in here. My thing is, one thing you've mentioned before we start winding up is about three or four times you've mentioned the youth, the young people.
Yes.
And I work a lot in education, especially with university and high school kids. Their mentality, I mean, there are a lot of kids up in here, and I do teach, you know, typically more posher kids, but that where they, because of hip-hop music and culture, where people throw around, you know, what we refer to as the N-word, they feel that they can just do it.
Well, here as well, I mean, it's kind of normal that people would refer to the Chinese and the Indian shop, not the bazaar or the supermarket.
Oh, yeah, just by their, like, a small...
No, in our countries, that would be impossible.
Which N-word are you talking about, the Spanish version or the English one?
In which way?
When you said the N-word, did you say the N-word?
Yes, ma'am.
But are you talking about the Spanish version? Are we talking negro or are we talking nigger?
No, we're talking negro, but what you just said, the latter one that you just said, exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sign of the time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get ourselves into context.
True.
Right? For example... We have the, it's a shame, just now I can't remember the name of this great guy, English guy who made a conference in Oxford University about it, and I can't remember his name just now. Listen, there's two big differences. Two people from the same community calling each other that, that's one thing.
Yes.
A white person calling a black person that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And getting common in normal, everyday languages. Okay. So, it's very, very embedded inside the Afro-American culture.
Yes.
That can be applied in Europe, because this is not the same culture.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, completely.
You can find that nigger story in rap, in America, and in the Caribbean.
Yes.
In the patois.
Exactly.
In Creole. But you're not supposed to find that in Europe. I don't care which language you speak. You can speak French. You can speak English, you can speak Spanish, you can speak Portuguese. This is highly, highly offensive.
I think it's very important then that educators and people and parents educate their kids to say hail to the nah. This is not something you say, because kids are sometimes, and their parents as well, as smart as doorknobs, and
exactly.
They just don't get the mofo
and
difference.
There's another thing that people don't think about. When a kid from a young age get used to be called that, get used to use that word, is internalizing stigma.
Exactly.
Is doing it second skin.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts auto-defining himself as that and reducing himself as that. People don't realize, that's why we're starting to work with psychologists.
Mm-hmm. And I see that on the page.
Don't realize the impact on that kid. You can't start your life thinking, reducing yourself to racial stigma, racist vocabulary, and a color.
Exactly.
That's not working.
And
how do you construct yourself after that? How do you construct your self-image, your self-esteem, and your identity?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Okay.
Loud and clear from where I was raised and where I was born. Mexicano family. Now, one thing that I wanted to say too was, we want to push people to get involved. So anything that you're coming or anytime that you're coming to Barcelona, you let us know because we're going to help you mount something here.
I don't know. We should get back in touch then.
We'll be in touch. You already know.
I'll call Antoinette to let her know. Because the last time she was in Barcelona, and I missed it because I could not make it, was December.
Okay.
And she said that she would not come for a while because she has a lot of work to do because the base where she works from is Zaragoza on the other side.
Exactly.
So every time she has to do Madrid, Barcelona, it's a lot of traveling involved, and she's a mother as well, like me.
But you can find all the information on Facebook and on the page.
No, what I'm saying is, definitely at some point, she's preparing something big just now. So I don't want to say anything.
Okay.
It's her thing. We'll see if something can be done as a community, but street style.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Street style, the way we love it.
She's on top of something big here, and she has a lot of work to do.
Yes.
So at the moment, she's at home working.
Well, I will contact her as well to see what we can do to help.
I will pass on your information and let her know about that.
And folks, everybody listening, you can take advantage and take of all of the stuff that they have here and so many beautiful articles as well on Afrofeminist.com, Afrofeminist.com, as well as on Twitter, the Facebook, Google, Skype, Tumblr, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Telegram, and WhatsApp. So, folks, Afrofeminize yourselves, por favor. I want to thank you, Super Funky Nat, for giving us a call. Enjoy the chilly weather in Mallorca and stay warm.
Thank you.
Eh? No.
And have a beautiful day, guys.
You too, my love. Have a blessed day and week, and we will talk soon, eh?
Great.
Ciao, Bella.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that just reinvigorated me. As the educator part of me is just lit right now.
Lit. Marvelous. So, change our theme of music this morning. We have got some more fantastic To See Us Out songs. You chose this one, Lucas. Let us know.
Unfortunately, we didn't get to a couple of the segments we wanted to in a trap, but we're going to start that next week then with another lovely show. Joan Armatrading, and I don't know why for years, my brother Matthew is the one who introduced me to her years ago. And I decided to play she can be a little bit maudlin sometimes, but she was one of the few British folk, rock singer-songwriters who came out, who was also African, and her music just touched me from the time I was a sophomore in uni and for the past 18, 19, 20 years. And Jesus loves everyone. So we're going to do it with a little upbeat one, which actually has a little tongue-in-cheek talking about maybe transgendered folk too in this one. This is Joan Armatrading from the early 80s, and this is Chuck Rosie. And folks, we will see you again, same bad time and channel, next week.
Absolutely. Have a fantastic week, guys.
Give love.
Stay warm, stay lovely, and we'll see you on the club.
Besos. Ciao.
Don't you come on so strong? It can be so true.